From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues this series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This book sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music.
Our meditation for this morning is found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5. The evening and the morning were the first day. Was it so even in the beginning? Did light and darkness divide the realm of time in the first day? Then little wonder is it if I have also changes in my circumstances from the sunshine of prosperity to the midnight of adversity. It will not always be the blaze of noon even in my soul concerns. I must expect at seasons to mourn the absence of my former joys and seek my beloved in the night. Nor am I alone in this, for all the Lord's beloved ones have had to sing the mingled song of judgment and of mercy, of trial and deliverance, of mourning and of delight. It is one of the divine arrangements of providence that day and night shall not cease, either in the spiritual or natural creation, till we reach the land of which it is written, There is no night there. What our Heavenly Father ordains is wise and good. What then, my soul, is it best for thee to do? Learn first to be content with this divine order, and be willing with Job to receive evil from the hand of the Lord as well as good. Study next to make the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. Praise the Lord for the sun of joy when it rises, and for the gloom of evening as it falls. There is beauty both in sunrise and sunset. Sing of it, and glorify the Lord. Like the nightingale, pour forth thy notes at all hours. Believe that the night is as useful as the day. The dews of grace fall heavily in the night of sorrow. The stars of promise shine forth gloriously amid the darkness of grief. Continue thy service under all changes. If in the day thy watchword be labor, at night exchange it for watch. Every hour has its duty. Do thou continue in thy calling as the Lord's servant, until he shall suddenly appear in his glory. My soul, thine evening of old age and death is drawing near. Dread it not, for it is part of the day. And the Lord has said, I will cover him all the day long.
Change makes that others would see my life and know. when someday in heaven above I see his dear face, may I then be counted faithful as a runner in this race. But now I'm trusting in the Savior to show me the way. In his righteousness he guides me as I seek to please him day by day.
Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little booklet, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians as he brings the first portion of a message entitled, Wonderful Redemption. The text is chapter 1 and verse 14, In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In introducing the message, Dr. Cairns first emphasizes that the theme of redemption is what ties the entire biblical revelation together. As recorded in the Old Testament, redemption involved a recovery, either of property or of persons, by the expenditure of effort and/or a redemption price. As we'll see in the course of the message, the application of this principle finds its highest expression in Christ's crosswork on behalf of sinners. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
We return this morning to Colossians chapter 1, and our text is found in verse 14 of that chapter. You remember that I said last week that verses 13 and 14 stand very, very closely related, that they carry in them two ideas that really cannot be separated. One leads to the other, one expounds the other, and yet they are so vast that we have to treat them separately. Last week in verse 13, we looked at the idea of the Father delivering his people from the power of darkness and translating them into the kingdom of the Son of his love, to give the words their literal force. God delivering his people from the power of darkness and translating them or transferring them into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now, with regard or reference to the Son of his love, he goes on in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In the Son of his love, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, the text today is so brief that if you have not already memorized it, you could do so in the next few seconds, even those of you who complain, like me, that your memory is failing. I have no doubt you could memorize this text in a matter of seconds. It's brief, but its message is far from small or insignificant. In fact, its message is one of the most immense in all the Bible. What Paul says here in this text goes to the very heart of all biblical revelation. Here he speaks of redemption. The theology of the Bible is fundamentally a theology of redemption. In fact, when I taught theology during my time here in the United States, I developed what I called the theology of redemption. Normally, that is what's called a course in historical theology. Mine was a course in systematic theology. And while there are people, theologians, who object to the method, I think they're wrong. I think that the greatest integrating theme of all theology is redemption. Scholars argue, is there a theme that ties the whole Bible together? Only an idiot or an unbeliever could read the Bible and then ask that question. And only an absolute fool, having asked the question, could, as many so-called scholars do, come to the conclusion there is no integrating theme. From Genesis to Revelation, the theme that ties all biblical revelation together, the heartbeat of all Bible doctrine, is the revelation of redemption. And that's something, therefore, that makes our text of surpassing importance. Now, I'm going to let you into a secret if you haven't already come to this conclusion. Shouldn't tell you it because you'll judge me and you'll judge other preachers by it. But when people are learning to preach, I have to say, when I was learning to preach, I was never told this, and that explains the difficulties I had for so many years. But when people are learning to preach, there is one fundamental thing that they are taught. At least they should be taught. It's so simple that every student wants to overlook it. And that is, before you speak in a text, make sure you know what it's about. You see, we're all brilliant at talking about things we know nothing about. Once we have our minds made up, don't confuse me with facts. I have known preachers to come to texts, and they have found things there that were never intended to be there. I have heard people say, well, that's taken out of the Bible, you know. And it always reminds me of John Wiley. I've quoted him before. One of our ministers who's now with the Lord, when people were talking to him about something they said was taken out of the Bible, he said, well, it must have been, for I have never found it in the Bible. And I think that's the way many people come to text. When you come to a text, you've got to find out what it means. And I always like to tell the students to make sure that when they come to any verse, they can look at it, and whether it's a text of one verse or a text of one chapter or a text of one book, that they can reduce it to one single, usually simple sentence that says it all. And only when you can do that can you begin to say you've even got to the starting line in understanding that text. I want you to look at this text. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And as you look at it, I think you'll find it teaches a wonderful truth. I simply title the message today, Wonderful Redemption, because this is a wonderful truth. And it's this, that God's people have redemption and remission of sins by virtue of Christ's person and of the merits of his precious blood. We have redemption in Christ through his blood, even the remission of sins. Now, I've said the message is vast, and therefore I'm going to do something that I don't know when last I did this. I don't know if I've ever done it indeed. May have, but it doesn't come to mind. I am not going to preach the whole message this morning. That's nothing new. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to come back to the text, not next Sunday morning, but tonight. This is our text then, not for this morning, but for today. And I want us to think on this theme of wonderful redemption. Now again, we've got to start right at the very beginning. And we start at the beginning by thinking of the essence of redemption. It's always good to have a clear definition of our terms. This word redemption, while this is in Colossians and therefore it's written in Greek, and the Greek words are made up of various component parts, and the Greek words carry their own cargo or freight of meaning and all that, while that's true, yet the word redemption and the idea in the word comes to us from the Old Testament scriptures. When you read redemption in the New Testament, remember that while it's important to find out what do the Greek words mean and what does the English word mean, yet you've got to go way beyond that and find out what does the Old Testament say about this? Because this is a word that comes to us out of the Old Testament, and it's a word, therefore, that when the apostles used it, they were using it to convey what I've called a cargo of meaning that's clearly set before us in the Old Testament scriptures. Now, when you get to those scriptures, you'll find that redemption, and this is true not only in the Old Testament, obviously, it's true in the New Testament, it's true even in our more popular use of the word in modern English. The word redemption always means a recovery of some sort. A recovery. It always means a recovery that is obtained by the expenditure of effort and the expenditure, or perhaps, or the expenditure of a ransom price. One or other or both of those ideas will be in this recovery that comes under the term redemption. When we turn to the Old Testament scriptures, we find that redemption may apply to people, and it also may apply to property. And those two thoughts are carried into the New Testament exposition of redemption. When you turn to the Bible, and it is describing the redemption of people, the idea is always that of a release and a recovery of people out of slavery, captivity, bondage. When we're dealing with the redemption of people, therefore, in Scripture, we are dealing with the release and the recovery of slaves. When we deal with the redemption of property, then it is always the thought of a recovery of a lost or a forfeited inheritance. Now, think of those two aspects of the word redemption. The classic example of the redemption of people in the Old Testament is, of course, the redemption of Israel out of Egypt. That's so important in the Old Testament that everywhere you turn, the Lord refers to it throughout the remainder of their history. The Lord, through the prophets, always called the Israelites back to that moment when he intervened in Egypt and he delivered them by the blood of the Lamb. He redeemed them as his people. We were reading of it this morning in the prophecy of Isaiah. And this is just one portion. You could turn to one portion after another. And the Lord is saying this is the outstanding example of the redemption of people out of slavery. You remember what he says through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8, because the Lord loved you, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So that's a clear, classic example of recovering the slaves. When you think of the redemption of property, you could think of Ruth, the book of Ruth, and how Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, redeemed his kinsman's property. And actually, in the providence of God, thereby safeguarded the line of Messiah. It's a very important book, the book of Ruth. If you want to study it carefully and spiritually, you will find that the key to Ruth, the whole book, the key to it, is the theme of redemption, the person, the work, the role the love, the commitment, the payment, the engagement, the covenant of the kinsman redeemer. This is the book of Ruth.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.